Eunice and John, Eunice gave me an opportunity to speak here at East Coast Camp Meeting for the first time. And thanks to Eunice, I became the hottest thing among 할머니들 since the estrogen patch. I mean, I never knew I had it in me. Thank you, Eunice. Thank you, Eunice, for making my dream come true. And yeah, I mean, I have a fan club, West Coast Camp Meeting, East Coast Camp Meeting. Yeah, I never knew. And I also want to thank Jake. Brian's not here, but we all went to Andrews together, and watching Jake and Brian, so dedicated, really inspires me to work harder and better for Jesus. So I want to thank Jake and Brian, wherever he is, right? And I especially want to thank Jake and Brian and EM Adult Leadership just scheduling me 4 hours this week. Last time I came here, I spoke for 22 hours. Yeah. And 20 hours of that, I was trying to convince the 할머니들 that there's nothing wrong with our health message. The problem is that they married a Korean man. But the truth did not set them free. And they would keep asking me questions after questions for 20 hours. And I recognized that the bigger the pama, more the questions they ask. And Holy Spirit sustained me for 20 hours. It was 15 years ago. God helped me to realize how broken I was, physically, mentally, and spiritually. And since God has been healing my brokenness by growing my faith to more faith, God transforms our brokenness, beautiful, by growing our faith to greater faith. Even though our faith may be small, the size of mustard seed, when we choose to believe in Him and when we choose to serve God, He grows that faith with His grace. So that faith grows to become worship, the sanctification, so we can worship God better with our body and mind. And then God even grows that faith even more. So we have a talent to serve God and we can give glory to God, the spiritual talent. But ultimately, God grows our faith so that we become conformed to the image of His Son. That is how God makes our brokenness beautiful. Today, I want to start today's presentation with the history of Adventist health studies. So when I was a freshman at Andrews, I heard the most important advice for my life. Senior student told me, as I was starting Andrews, he said that, Woo-seok, if you study hard and get into Lomalanda Medical School, there'll be lots of nice Korean Adventist girl come there to marry a guy. And that was a gospel to me. For the first time, I thought, I have a chance here now. And I worked really hard for 4 years. I don't remember, I went out more than 5 times Saturday night. See, I was so eager to land the promised land, you know? And so after 4 years, I really wanted to go to Loma Linda, but my mom told me, she said, just go to North Carolina, because you can go to medical school for $7,000 a year. So I listened to the false prophet, I gave up the promised land, so I went to North Carolina. So, you know, when I started school, you know, you introduce, like, where you went undergrad and stuff. So I told everybody, I went to Andrews University. And all my classmates thought I went to St. Andrews University, which is the oldest university in Scotland where the, you know, the kings and prince of the England go to. Because some of my classmates went to, like, Oxford, Cambridge, and things like that. So they all put it. I said, no, I went to Andrews University in Michigan. And none of my classmates knew where the Andrews is from. And so I was kind of embarrassed. And I was like, man, I should have never listened to a false prophet, you know? And then we started the first week of school. And epidemiology, preventative professors giving lectures. The UNC epidemiology department was like ranked top three in the country. And these are the top professors. In fact, one of my friends from Korea, was in medical school in Korea. They were using a translated textbook from my school for their epidemiology. And this top professor, the very first week, guess what he was talking about? Adventist health study. I was just blown by, and he actually made this joke. He said, if you want to live long, become Seventh-day Adventist, as a joke. And then the whole class laughed, but I was in shock. I was like, am I in a revival meeting here? Right? See, up to that point, like my Adventist health message was this: be vegetarian, eat brown rice, stomach pain, eat activated charcoal, right? And then pray for more endorphins, especially during church board meeting, you have to pray for endorphins. And then when I get really old, I go to like sanitarium to get the magical cure. And so that was my understanding. And when I heard this Adventist health study taught by non-Adventists telling everybody, hey, you want to live long, be an Adventist, I was just shocked. Adventist health study started in 1950s. So the Loma Linda professors recognized that Adventists were living much longer than average Californians. So the Loma Linda professor wanted to share the principle of Adventist health reform by demonstrating the value of the Adventist health reform principles. They wanted to show something better to the world by using science. Therefore, the professors used the scientific method, which is actually from the Bible, Daniel chapter 1. In fact, it is recognized by major journals that Daniel chapter 1 is the first clinical trial in human history. Now, the first Adventist health study, which were done in 1950s and 60s, named Adventist Mortality Study, was to show how much Adventists are healthier by comparing to average American. And that showed the Adventists tend to live longer, die less often from cancer and heart disease. Now, every like decades, U.S. government has health focus, like polio vaccine in 1950s, heart disease, which actually resulting developing bypass surgery and also statin, 1960s and 70s, cancer, and 1980s, HIV, AIDS, etc. So around the time Adventist Mortality Study came out in 1970s, the President Nixon declared war against cancer. And because of the results of the Adventist Mortality Study, such as Adventist lung cancer death were 79% lower than average Americans. So for the first time, U.S. government gave tax money to Loma Linda to do the Adventist Health Study. So the purpose of the Adventist health study in 70s and 80s was to find out what lifestyle factors are making Adventists healthier by comparing Adventists to Adventists, just like our moms did when we were growing up, comparing us to our church friends, right? Yeah. By the way, anyone who has like a PTSD from that experience, I have a presentation for you. So the results, we learned five factors and what factors added to Adventists. For Adventist men, nut consumption add 2.7 years. Enough exercise, 2.7. Vegetarian diet, 1.5. Keeping healthy weight, 1.4. Never smoking, 1.2. But if you serve Korean church board meeting, it doesn't really matter. Yeah. Again, I have a presentation on PTSD, okay? So for a woman, healthy weight 2.2, exercise 1.8, nut consumption 1.8, never smoking 1.8, vegetarian diet 1.5. But marriage to Korean guy, minus 15 years. Just grab your kids and run, okay? You'll live longer. So as from Adventist health study, we also learned that the California Seventh-day Adventists live longer than average California. So all Adventists, including the vegetarian and non-vegetarian combined, men lived about 7.3 years longer than average Californians, average, and then Adventist women, 4.4 years longer than average California women. And then when researchers looked at specifically vegetarian Adventists and compared them with the average Californians, vegetarian Adventist men lived 9.5 years longer. And this is where the phrase came out, Adventists live 10 years longer. And then, you guys remember this, right? Blue Zone, National Geographic. And that 10 years longer became very popularized. I absolutely believe this statement. If Seventh-day Adventists were sincere health reformers, they would indeed be spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. You know, we have opportunity to show something better with our lives by daily living. The pattern that we learn from the book of Romans, faith, sanctification, spiritual gift to service, and the mind of Christ, I actually see this pattern in the history of Adventist Church. As most of you know that God entrusted our church the message of righteousness by faith expressed through the third angel's message. And then soon after our church was established in 1863, it was only a couple days later, Ellen White actually had a health vision number one. That health vision number one is a preventative health message. We know as a new star. And then 2 years later, we were given 1865 health vision. That was to start health institutions. So righteousness by faith message, and then sanctification with a new star, and health institution as a gift to this world, like our talents to serve the world. And through this whole process, we develop the mind of Christ. Especially, you know, the word martyr, Greek word meaning is witness. You know, when we think of like martyrdom, we think of like going to Africa and, you know, die as a martyr. True meaning of the martyr is actually we keep faith in Jesus until we take our last breath, wherever we are. It could be a church board meeting, but wherever we are, you know? Keep the faith to the end, okay? After Adventist Health Study 1 came out, Loma Linda got more money to do more study, Adventist Health Study 2. And Adventist Health Study 2 is actually asking, which diet pattern are the healthiest for Adventists? And it's still going on. It started in 2002, and 96,000 Adventists are in part of this study. Anyone in the part of this study? No? Okay. 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 Don't be all left out. That's okay. Jesus still loves you. And we can find the latest summary update of Adventist Health Study 2, which came out around 2024. And I strongly recommend, if you guys are able to find this article from Adventist Review, please read that article. It is so important. So in Adventist Health Study, the diet category were based on not on whether you absolutely avoid something, but how often people eat certain food. So they define non-vegetarian who eat meat, like red meat, chicken, fish, more than once a week. Semi-vegetarian eat meat more than once a month, but less, no more than once a week. And those three types of vegetarian, pesco, lacto-ovo, vegan, all three types eat meat less than once a month. And then pesco eat fish at least once a month. And they didn't measure how often they are eating dairy products and eggs. Lacto-ovo eat fish less than once a month. And also the dairy and egg more than once a month. Vegan, all meat, fish, dairy, egg, less than once a month. But in some ways, based on their definition, you can still go to unlimited Korean barbecue once a month and still call yourself vegan. But that is between you and Satan. From Adventist Health Study 2, we learned that dietary pattern is closely related to body weight. The red It's a non-vegetarian. Average BMI for them is a 28. And the blue vegan is a 23. See, when you become a strict vegan, nobody invite you for dinner, so you lose weight really fast. And I'm not gonna ask you to raise your hand whether you're vegan or not, because they already let everybody know they're vegan. Now, the more plant-based diet become, the lower average body weight tend to go down, right? And then there's association with a lower risk of type 2 diabetes. So here's a diet pattern, BMI, and then risk for having disease related. So what is that case? Is that why? So, when we lose weight, we lose visceral fat. And then visceral fat, not the fat underneath subcutaneous skin, but in the tummy around the organs, like liver, pancreas, etc. That is a source of inflammation in our body. And when we lose weight, we lose this visceral fat and our whole body inflammation tend to go down. I mean, there are other factors on this. Being a vegetarian, micronutrients and then fibers, etc. There's a multifactorial, but this is a main reason how when we lean toward vegetarian diet, we lose weight, less visceral fat, less chronic medical conditions. Now, so when we compare the three Adventist vegetarian group, vegan, lacto, and pesco combined versus non-vegetarian, that due to less inflammation, we can see how the death by age, meaning younger death is a death by 65 years old, and older death is by 85 years old. And you can see that these chronic medical conditions, diabetes, heart disease, infectious disease is more acute, but also kidney failure, you can see that vegetarian tend to have a much less of these conditions or in dying from them. So being vegetarian as an Adventist, you do great neck down. Now we'll talk about the issues with the neck up, okay, later. Now we know that our bodies start to age around 30. We don't notice it, but at a cellular level, we know from science that we start age around 30. And then we have a major landmarks like 44, 60, and 80, that our body actually has not a gradual downhill, but it's more like a step down. So around 40s, we develop metabolic changes, developing prediabetes, hypertension, and also the risk of cancer goes up, especially colon cancer. Around 60, we develop type 2 diabetes, but for average people, and first heart attack. Around 78, the risk for neurodegenerative brain disease, such as a stroke, dementia, start to appear. I want to point this out that Adventist lifestyle and Adventist vegetarian diet does not prevent all this completely. What it does is it delays the onset of these diseases. Okay? So as an example, average American man without Adventist lifestyle, weight gain, prediabetes, hypertension in 40s and 50s, and perhaps become diabetic in 60s and a couple years later, first heart attack, survives, get a stent, medical treatment, and lives for another 15 years, and average death will be around 76. Now, for Adventists, so with the Adventist lifestyle, they prevent this disease happening earlier, delay diabetes, hypertension, chronic medical conditions, and they die much later, like during church board meeting. So Adventist health studies and other population studies have shown this, that if you start this healthier lifestyle around 30, 40, you may live up to 10 to 24 years more than if you don't. If you start at 50, 8 to 14 years, starting age of 60 to 70, 3 to 5 years. And then if you start at 90, maybe you will live 4 more hours and you get to attend one more church board meeting. And have a heart attack. Our health message was given to us for lessening suffering and for purifying His church, to reduce our physical, mental, psychological suffering, and also to have a clear mind to focus on Jesus. However, our health message was not given to us with the promise of magical cure, 100 year of longevity. You guys all know the story of King Hezekiah, right? He may have attended one of these magical cure health seminars, so he wanted to live 15 more years. You know, all the decisions he made poorly were done after the 15 years. Longevity is not the goal of health message. Purpose of a health message is to have a mind of Christ, even if we live just one more day. And I want to summarize, I want to talk about advanced glycation end product, because this concept summarizes the entire large portion of the book Counsel's Diets and Foods. The idea is that there are food that generates by burning kind of dirty and creates a residue in our body. I call it chikgagi. And then there are food that burns clean and generates less of them. And you know this, like when you're cooking on a fry pan, when you use oil in a high heat and like you add things like a sugar, it leaves a lot of residue on the fry pan, right? Our body is a frying pan in a way. You know, that's why we always have temperature. It's burning something, right? But as we are processing nutrients, we want to leave least amount of residue in our body. Now, when you generate advanced glycation end products, it accumulates all over your body. In the blood vessels, you know, it causes a heart attack. In the brain tissue itself, it's related with the dementia. And for your ladies here, it accumulates on the skin, and you're exposed to UV light, your skin ages much faster. In fact, it accumulates from the brain to all the muscles in your body, pretty much everywhere. So by age of 65, they're not in a typical blood test from like LabCorp or Quest from your doctor's office, but university research centers, they can measure how much advanced glycation end products you have in your body, and they can predict how many years that you have left to live. Do you guys want to know the answer? No? Like when I take a lot of questions, I really want to know how much time I have left, you know? That's a bad joke, but I just want to see you guys are still awake. And just... So like plant-based food produces low amount of advanced glycation end product. As an example, when we consume 100 grams of fresh apple, it generates about 13 units, right? But when we process apple or cook them, right? Then we generate about 45 units, even though it's the same amount of calorie of apple. So fresh fruits and vegetables are the best diet. The more we cook them, the more we process them, more of that goes in our body. Now let's talk about animal-based foods. Compared to like plant-based, animal food generates about 10 to 100 times more. Raw chicken generates about 700 units. Boiled chicken, such as like chicken soup, about 1,000. Rotisserie chicken from Costco generates about 4,000 to 5,000. And fried chicken generates about 5,000 to 6,000 units. And just because it has a low advanced glycation end product, you should not eat raw chicken. Because they don't taste good. So when it comes to cooking meat, it's best to cook in the water, like soup-based, right? In a dry heat, it will generate more of this residue. When you fry in the oil, that's like the worst thing. Now, red meat generates the most amount of advanced glycation end products, especially when you process red meat. I mean, they generate, like, for example, beef hot dog, 10,000, especially if you fry them, I mean, it goes way higher. Yeah. If you ladies cannot grab your kids and cannot run away, you can always feed your husband the beef hot dog. Yeah. It will set you free. So when the COVID-19 pandemic began, we learned that like people with the diabetes were dying much higher rate. Do you guys remember a couple years ago? Yeah. Diabetes increased the risk of dying from COVID 460% than without diabetes. And about like 9 months later, 8-9 months later, NYU explained why that was the case. It was because the diabetic patients had much more advanced glycation end products in their body. So when they got sick, remember they had a super high inflammation. Literally, like think about advanced glycation end product, it's like a gasoline in the fire. Yeah. Our church knew this concept many, many years ago. Grains, fruits, nuts, and vegetables, prepared in as simple and natural a manner as possible. We knew this so many years ago. So just to summarize, how can we lower advanced glycation end product in our body? We could lean toward more toward the plant-based nutrition and try to eat more whole food and reduce processed food and simpler cooking and preparation. Also, we know this, like when we exercise and when we do fasting, we can reduce the amount of advanced glycation end products accumulated in our body. Actually, drinking water does not help that much. When it comes to advanced products. So, you know, I want to point this out that our church does not teach eating meat is sin. Avoid meat eating, not because it is regarded as sin to eat meat, but because it is not healthful. Butter, meat, or cheese is not to be presented to anyone as a test. However, I don't recommend celebrating a baptism at Korean barbecue restaurant. Not because eating Korean barbecue is sin, but it's not edifying. You know, when we accept God's grace, when we believe God is the one who justifies the sinner, like we experience the righteousness by faith, and after that, our mind kind of changes. We no longer think about whether it's a sinful or whether it's sin. You know, how much can we do something and still go to heaven? We don't think that way no more. Because when we experience that gratitude in our frontal lobe, we start thinking this way, that how can we worship God better with our body and mind? And how can we build up our family, friends, and church for the glory of God? Right? So, you know, the brokenness that we have to not become beautiful, avoiding sin with our willpower. You know, the brokenness is made beautiful by willing to serve Jesus better. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful or built up. The question is, how can I build up family, friends, and church? And I want to point this out. Like, you know, I take care of a lot of seniors. And there comes a point that our illness becomes so much burden to our children. And that's my greatest fear. I'd rather die in a church board meeting than linger my daughter and son suffer because of me. You know what I mean? And that is an edification for my family. I want to stay healthy so they can serve God better, you know, instead of doing something like changing. Never mind, I don't want to talk about that. Yeah. Whatever you eat, drink, whatever you do, we want to do all to the glory of God. So the question is, who lives the longest among Adventists by diet pattern? You know, we have these four diet patterns, right? I'm going to ask you guys and raise your hand. Who thinks a non-vegetarian lived the longest? Raise your hands. Okay, nobody needs a rebaptism, praise God. Okay, how about Pesco vegetarian? Who thinks they lived the longest? I can tell that you guys like sushi buffet. Good, is it? Okay, how about a lacto-ovo vegetarian? Raise your hand. Okay, you guys collect the Papa John coupons? Good. And the vegans, the lonely ones. Okay, good. Ooh, we got some here. All right. You guys are all wrong, actually. The longest living Adventists are the true remnant who do not never fall asleep during health seminars. The 140, I don't know. The next group is actually Paschal vegetarian. Adventist health study too show the Paschal vegetarian diet is associated with the lower all-cause mortality among the diet patterns studied. So let's set as a non-vegetarian, like meat-eating friends, as a kind of baseline. Lacto-ovo, they added about 1 to 2 years. Vegans also added about 1 to 2 years. Paschal, about 2 to 2.5. I mean, at the end of the day, it's about the same. You know, it's not that dramatically different. Now, compared to non-vegetarians, we're looking at like what diet pattern actually can reduce dying from all disease combined. Semi-vegetarian, who eat less meat than just people who eat meat regularly, they can reduce by cutting out the meat eating frequency 8%. Lacto-ovo, 9%, vegan, 15%, and Paschal vegetarian by 19%. You know, I used to have a lot of vegan friends, actually. After this slide, they don't talk to me anymore. So regarding death from heart disease, compared to non-vegetarian, the baseline, semi-vegetarian, 8% reduction in death by heart disease, 10% vegans, lacto-ovo, 18%, Paschal, 35%. But you know what? This is kind of weird, not weird, but this pattern is not just for Seventh-day Adventists. When we look at other large population study, the pattern actually comes up very similar. So why less ischemic heart disease among Paschal vegetarian? Number one is what they call like a food substitution effect. So when they eat fish for protein, they eat less red meat. And then, you know, being vegetarian, they eat high fiber, nuts, legumes, etc. And then omega-3, especially EPA from fish, is very good for heart disease prevention. Also, you know, we found this pattern with the colorectal cancer. Like non-vegetarian as baseline, being vegan, you can reduce by 16, lacto-ovo 18, Paschal 43%. Again, colorectal finding is very consistent with the other population studies. When you compare the people who eat fish the most and the least, you can reduce the colorectal cancer by some studies 6% and some 12%. Why is that? The high level of omega-3 fatty acid is one of the most potent anti-inflammatory property agents and reduce colorectal cancer by reducing mutation. Vitamin D and selenium, known as anti-cancer vitamins. And again, you know, replacing the red meat, which is carcinogenic at the highest level, but by replacing with the fish, you have a food substitutional effect. So this statement is not actually from Spectrum magazine or Adventist Today. It's actually from Adventist Review. That fish may have some protective properties, and we're still working on this. Paschal vegetarian had a particularly lower risk of colorectal cancer, and that is not due to chance. So, what is the best diet pattern for healthy brain aging? You know, we talked about how being a vegetarian reduce chance for dying from all these diseases neck down, right? But, you know, these three types of vegetarian combined and compared to the non-vegetarian, when it comes to brain conditions such as stroke, dementia, and Parkinsonism, their chance of dying from these conditions were much higher at age of 65 and age of 85. In fact, we can see this more clearly when we divide the vegetarian group by their pattern, diet pattern, and compare that to non-vegetarian. As an example, for stroke death, compared to the meat-eating Adventist, Paschal increased 5%, lacto 19%, vegans 18%. And when it comes to dementia, same thing. PESCO, 5% increase. Lacto-ovo, 12%. Vegans, 15%. Same pattern came with Parkinson's disease, but there's this kind of confidence and interview issues that they weren't able to say, but similar numbers. The probable cause for these findings is that there seemed to be a deficiency of vitamin B12 among vegetarians, among Adventist church members, and low DHA and EPA omega-3 fatty acid, and low choline. As most of you know, the vitamin B12 is found mainly in animal foods such as meat, seafood, eggs, dairy. And when we see what percentage of vitamin B12 is deficient among Adventists based on diet pattern, non-vegetarian had about, of them, 6.5% of the deficiency. Lacto-ovo, about 10%, and vegans, 15%. I also want to point this out that this vitamin B12 deficiency is more neurological, more than a neurological issue. There's also a psychological aspect of vitamin B12 deficiency. The symptoms of B12 deficiency in psychiatric conditions, persecutory delusions, auditory and visual hallucination, and disorganized thought process. You know, when I give like health seminars in Texas, we have a really conservative churches there. And then I do recognize that some of the church members practice extreme diet, you know, vegetarian pattern. And they have this like thought of perfection and a high level of like anxiety and fear regarding the end time events and also what US government's gonna do. And some of them actually told me that God created whole food and God did not make vitamin B12 supplements, you know? So, you know, in those patients, I don't make joke about going to Chinese buffet for extra vitamin B12, but, but you know, they have a very like extreme thinking. Now, when it comes to omega-3 fatty acid, there are three types of omega-3 fatty acid. ALA, mostly from plant, like seed and nuts and plant oil. EPA and DHA, they're from like seafood. Are you guys hungry watching this? I promise I'll finish before 2. And then, so ALA, plant-based, and they're essential. You cannot make in your body. You got to eat this, you know. And then EPA, mainly from seafood, like fatty fish. And this is where like the idea came, because the EPA has one of the highest anti-inflammatory properties in your heart coronary arteries. And this is where you eat fish to lower the heart attack came from. And then DHA is the most important fatty acid, omega-3 fatty acid, for the brain, eye, and nervous system, mostly from fish and seaweed, like algae, kim, miyok, you know. Are you guys hungry still? So the brain is made of 50 to 60% fat, and 35% of it is omega-3 fatty acid. And of that, 90% is DHA, right? So DHA is the most important omega-3 fatty acid in the brain. Now, you know, our body has a capacity to convert ALA to EPA to DHA. The problem is this, as we get older, that conversion seems to go down. So as we get older, we have a higher chance of a brain damage because lack of it. And on top of that, you know, what happened is that as you guys probably see this among our parent generation, as our parents get older, they tend to practice really strict vegetarian diet because they believe that by doing so, you can live longer. So while you need to eat more DHA, which your body cannot generate, you have to get some supplements or eat fish, they actually go the other way, extreme diet. And I've been saying this to, you know, Halmoniter and then, you know, all these Korean meetings that we're going to have a wave of older generation with the dementia, stroke, and Parkinsonism in our parent generation. I don't wish for that, but that's something we have to educate our parent generation. So the last thing is ag and choline. You know, the result just came out last month, I think just for you guys. So, you know, looking at Adventist Health Study 2, 65 and older Adventists, when you compare no eating, no egg eating Adventist to, you know, egg eating Adventist, those who eat 5 or more egg per week had a 27% lower chance of Alzheimer's disease than no egg eaters. The reason is this, the choline is like a basic building block for acetylcholine, the very important neurotransmitter for memory. And then in fact, like, you know, Alzheimer's medication like Aricept is prescribed to increase your acetylcholine, right? But by reducing the choline intake, the reduction of acetylcholine production, it increases risk for dementia. In fact, other populations have studies shown the same association, increase of egg intake and lower Alzheimer's dementia risk. I'm not asking you to eat like 10 eggs a day, maybe one. I mean, that's what they're recommending. But you can also get adequate choline from other sources, like soybean, tofu, bean. But you can see how much choline is in egg versus other plant source, right? Yeah. So you have to eat tons of beans to get the choline. Just don't eat it right before church board meeting. You will split the church. See, I'm not suggesting that we all become fish eaters, you know? Ministry Healing, page 314. In many places, fish become so contaminated by the filth on which they feed as to be cause of disease. I absolutely believe this. The Ministry Healing came out in 1905. You can see in this graph, since 1905, how much mercury has been in the environment increased. In addition to that, fat-soluble chemicals such as polycholinated biphenyl, PCBs, these type of chemicals are fat-soluble, and once they enter our body, they're very difficult to remove, and they stay in our fatty tissue much longer. And they're related to conditions like cancer. And they often come from fish. Also, there's the issue with the microplastic in fish, which is becoming a bigger issue. You know, when it comes to whether you to be pesco vegetarian or vegan, I mean, it is come up to you guys to make that decision. But if you choose to eat fish, you have to make sure that it's a low mercury fish. And the best website is looking at the American College of Obstetrician and Gynecologists, because they actually recommend you which fish to eat, so make sure our babies don't become damaged by mercury, right? But if you decide to be a vegan or like strict vegetarian, we really have to make sure that there's enough vegan omega-3 complex, like DHA and EPA, daily. And then vitamin B12, you have to make sure that there's adequate amount, and vitamin D and calcium. And please check your blood test regularly. I mean, I do my blood test every 3 months. I definitely do blood tests after giving health seminar to Harmoniter. They ask me to. So, whether we eat fish as a pesco vegetarian or we take omega-3 supplement as a vegan, it's not actually the most important question regarding how we worship God with our body. You know, whether we do church worship with a piano and choir or guitar and drum, actually that's not the most important question regarding worship service. What is the most important question regarding worship is whether we are giving God our true spiritual worship or performing transactional exchange. When mouse finds cheese for the first time, brain experiences reward. You know, eat cheese and dopamine shoots up. And this generates expectation. This elevated level of happy neurotransmitter from the limbic system, or the Bible calls the flesh, or the spirit of prophecy calls lower nature, generates expectation. So the next time, even before finding cheese, dopamine and endorphin goes up with the expectation that I'll be eating cheese. And this is in fact happening to your brain right now. Your dopamine and endorphin is going up. Not from this presentation, because of the lunch that's coming up. However, if there's no cheese, and if this presentation does not end by 2 p.m., or despite following health message, we develop serious illness, because of the expectation, we may become very disappointed, experience depression, and we may even lose faith in God. In fact, C.S. Lewis describes this as expectation is everything. See, all pagan religions, all transactional relationships, and even health lifestyle based on expectation of health, long life, and cure of disease are motivated by what Romans 7 calls another health law in my members, the law of sin. What Spirit of Prophecy calls the law of self-preservation, the law of self-satisfaction. Does Job fear God for no reason? And that is a Satan's argument, is that Job is not worshiping you, God, but he's in a transactional relationship with you, God. Job is following the law of self-preservation and the law of self-satisfaction. Often as doctors, we encounter elderly, keenly health-conscious Adventists who are discouraged and sometimes angry that they are now suffer from a chronic disease. The problem is not our health message. The problem is the law of self-preservation and the law of self-satisfaction in our flesh. And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your hand. Only spare his life." Friends, God allows suffering and sometimes pain because there's something that can be healed only through suffering and pain. That is a transactional relationship that we have created with God due to our human weakness. You know, throughout Job's suffering, in fact, the whole book of Job is about Job complaining to God nonstop, right? What do you guys call when someone is complaining to God nonstop? Job was praying ceaselessly. The whole book of Job is about Job praying to God nonstop. See, during Job's time of trouble, you know, because of suffering and pain, his happy neurotransmitter, dopamine, endorphin, serotonin, everything just dried out. There's not a single drop of dopamine left in his brain. Yet, what was filled his mind was Job's faith, God's promise, and God's sustaining spirit. Job went through the time of Job's trouble, and God allowed it to cure his transactional mindset. Not only that, we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and that character produces hope. This is how our brokenness is made beautiful. It was not given to Elisha to follow his master in a fiery chariot. Upon him, the Lord permitted to come a lingering illness. Yet, he was conscious of the presence of sympathizing angels, and he was sustained. During time of his suffering, Elisha was sustained by God's grace. So faith has ripened into an abiding trust in his God. And when death called him, he was ready to rest from his labors. At the end, he died with a martyrdom, the mind of Christ. Through suffering, when every drop of happy neurotransmitter dry up, that is when faith is purified, faith matures into true spiritual worship, faith matures into mind of service, and faith matures into mind of Christ. That's how brokenness is made beautiful. You know, I did not grow up in a good Adventist home, perhaps like most of you guys. When I was young, my dad was like thorn in the flesh of our family. Yeah. And I think that was an understatement, to be honest. So most of my life, I thought of my dad as a messenger of Satan. He drank too often. He was very emotional, physical, and made it very difficult for my mom, my sister, and myself. You know, but my mom prayed. I mean, my mom prayed. She got baptized for 20 years. She prayed every morning. By the way, I'm allergic to long sermons and the health presentation, so. So, you know, when I was junior high and high school, I'll wake up often hearing my mom's prayer. Her prayer was my like morning alarm clock for me. And by God's grace, my father actually changed. Stopped drinking, stopped smoking. In fact, you know, one break from medical school, when I came home, I found my dad in a walk-in closet by himself, praying, kneeling down, praying by himself. I thought to myself, 오래 살다 보니 별걸 다 본다. So the expression is that if you live long enough, you really get to see everything. Yeah. If you ladies understand what that means, you're ready for PAMA now. You can upgrade your status. Yeah. But you know, even with my dad change, I did not change because I could not really accept him as my dad because I was so like bitter, you know? But that's the final stage of transactional relationship. You know, you expect something, it doesn't meet, then you disappoint, depressed, and then you develop mind of Christ. That is the end of a transactional relationship. So when I was in medical school, my parents were either in Charlotte or Atlanta, and I was in Chapel Hill, and they'll meet in the middle. Then they'll bring me Korean food so I can survive in a Caucasian neighborhood, you know. And then we'll meet like Sabbath afternoon and we'll talk. We'll pray together, and before they go back home, you know, I'll give my mom a hug, right? And for the first time, my dad said, hey, let me have one of the hugs, right? Man, you know, I have a very strong Korean ajashi DNA, Korean man DNA, and hug doesn't come natural to me, especially to my dad. So I just went like this, like that. Yeah. Yeah. And that was the last time I saw them. They died a couple days later. So, the night they died, I couldn't sleep at all. And then next day, I mean, I was completely exhausted. I suddenly tried to organize everything. You know, my dad was 51, my mom was 49, so nothing was prepared for their death. It just, boom, happened, right? So I was so exhausted, I was taking a short nap. And I was taking a nap and kind of waking up. I thought to myself, I have to buy their burial sites, and I don't know how to do this. I need to ask my dad, right? And for the first time, it just hit me. And that's the moment that I understood my dad for the first time. When Korean War started, my dad was inside of my grandma. You know, my grandma was pregnant with my dad. The day war started, my grandfather disappeared. The family members think that he was kidnapped. He was able to speak several languages, and he was in politics, and he just got kidnapped by a North Korean spy or something like that. And my dad's family was from South Korea, but my grandma was from Pyongyang, the capital of North Korea. And the war ended, she was with a toddler by herself. She had no family member, but she was very pretty. So this really wealthy person who happened to be from North Korea too asked her, I'll marry you, but you have to abandon your son. So my dad was 4 when his mom married a wealthy guy, and he was abandoned to like distant relatives. You know, my mom told me once that my before like couple days before my grandma left him, he cried nonstop not to leave him, not to abandon him. The night after my parents died, for the first time, I understood how my dad felt as a 4-year-old child. God sometimes allows pain and suffering to gift us the deeper understanding, to mature our faith, to purify our motive, and to have the mind of Christ, to transform our brokenness beautiful. Can you guys help me to read this verse together? Though the fig Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing pain, suffering, and difficult times in our lives, not to punish us nor destroy us, but to give us deeper understanding, to mature our faith, to give us the mind of Christ, and to conform us to the image of your Son. Teach us how to use our bodies and mind, not merely for our own expectation and satisfaction, but for true spiritual worship, and to help others, and to give you the glory. And in our sufferings, help us not to lose our faith, but help us to keep our eyes on Jesus. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.